Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Mark, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
For new subscribers, we continue to offer our half off with a promo code of 2022 half off. And you go to VR, Victor Robert, VRTrader.com. And in the promo code slot, you enter the 2022 half off and you get 50% off. Again, only for new subscribers. And we always make the disclaimer here that I'm not a financial advisor, just a newsletter publisher. I don't provide financial advice. But we do and have been doing this type of technical research since 1979.
Now, as expected, the Fed cut interest rates, but not by a quarter of a percent, but a half a percent. What kind of an impact has that had?
Well, in one day, the market took off. Historically, you know, I've talked about this before, when the Fed starts to lower rates, it could mean something more serious is happening out there, and I think that's really the case. You know, unemployment is declining, unemployment is increasing, that is. We're not getting the jobs, and, you know, interest rates are not doing what they're supposed to do. For example, mortgage rates actually went up this past week, and everybody's saying, how is that possible? The Fed's lowering rates. So the economy is in trouble. The market has masked the reality. You know, a lot of it is the AI craze and the movement of the stock market up. And, you know, I'm more in the conspiracy camp because I've done this for too long and have seen it in action when I was a floor trader years ago. But, you know, you got the government in there supporting the market. No one wants to talk about that. Equity stabilization fund, plunge protection team, you have an election year, all kinds of shenanigans out there. And, you know, yes, the market went to new highs. And if you just held your S&P or your TSX or your Dow and you just sat there, you know, you benefited. So, you know, my comment is sort of irrelevant if you're a long-term bull because the quote-unquote manipulative forces out there are hell-bent in keeping the markets up, because when the markets are up, people think everything is okay when it really may not be. But that's sort of irrelevant if you're trading the market and you're in there. Just I'm giving sort of you a general perspective, you know, my opinion of what's going on. I think we're still in a precarious time frame here. I mean, it's September. The highs that we just saw here were coincident with the lunar cycles, which I keep talking about here. You know, the new moon, full moon was on the 17th, and then we have a new moon coming up on the 2nd. We have the autumnal equinox here that's right now coming in the next day or two. So this suggests to me that we're in a topping phase because we're intersecting these cycle points. Everybody's exuberant because of the half-point rate cut. The market is into new highs. But it's interesting, in trading today, Thursday, for many indexes, we didn't go any higher than we were the day before, even though it was a spectacular intraday rally. So I think it's petering out here. We actually went short in terms of an index play for myself, you know, long, like shorting an inverse play on the major indexes, thinking that getting our foot in the door here. So we'll see. So anyway, you know, on a longer term, near term basis, I think the markets are going to be in trouble. And I think looking at when the bear market starts, which it may have to wait till after the election. And of course, if you know, it's a political comment, but you know, if the Democrats get back in, I think that increases the chance of a bigger bear market. If Trump gets in, I think lesser so. Though, you know, we still see a lot of overvaluations in PE ratios and so forth. You know, people may not realize General Motors is already trading at a PE of 5, and the Russell Index is trading at a PE of 10, where the NASDAQ's trading at a PE of 26. So we're overvalued mostly, but some individual stocks or sectors are starting to show the reality, so to speak. So, you know, I think you're going to see possibly single digits in the price earnings ratio, but it might be a year out. So we'll sort of monitor that as the, you know, the days unfold or weeks unfold here. So, to answer your question about the half point rate cut, obviously there's a reason for that besides the fact that supposedly we hit the inflation target. We didn't really do it. All the numbers are fictitious that come from the government. So I think inflation is still much, much higher than what supposedly is happening. And a lot of the, you know, individual reports that are government generated are bogus or revised or manipulated. And it's only the ones that I respect are some of the industry-related reports. So the ADP report that came out September 5th was a big disappointment to the bulls, and it's not generated from the government. It's more of a private report, and it showed that the job numbers were a lot lower than the government says it's the case. So the ISM report that comes out of Chicago, industrial production has been down. You know, you just see it. Restaurants are closing around the country. Walgreens, the big drugstore, is losing money. Their stock is plunging. Who knows if it's going to go out of business or not, but the stock's way down to single digits. You know, closing, even CVS has been closing some locations in the drugstore area. But, you know, from restaurants to some big department store chains closing, you know, it's a fantasy world. If you're in the market and you're trading stocks and you own the Dow or the S&P, you've done well, and you're sort of impervious to the reality out there. But the average person sees higher prices and, you know, lesser income, lesser jobs. And, you know, we've got a government in a super debt situation, which unfortunately could lead to, you know, the failure of the U.S. bond market at some point. And, you know, there could be something really serious coming down the road. It's real interesting. Coming up, Jim, just to let you know, the BRICS are having their big meeting in Russia, in a town called Kazan, K-A-Z-A-N, October 22nd to 24th. And there could be a big push there in terms of anti-dollar sentiment, gold-related currency. You know, the world's sort of ganging up on the U.S. And, you know, there's 80 countries or so could be involved in this. So, you know, we're going to go the way of the dodo, you know, just a matter of time, because we've created a lot of enemies around the world, misappropriation of the finances, printing money like it's going out of style, you know, just you know, a bunch of lies and deception on the part of the government and so forth and so on. So we'll see what happens during this BRICS meeting. But I don't know, the election's coming up. That's a big uncertainty. You know, there could be civil unrest in this country, because no matter who wins, the other side's going to say it's illegitimate. I don't want to be, you know, I'm more, you know, I trade the market every day, but most of my money is in treasury bills, you know, 4.5-5% interest. And I, you know, pick my shots on some trades, but I'm not exposing myself to, and I'm also in gold, because I still think that's overall a hedge, particularly with the BRICS doing what they're doing. Silver seems to be trying to catch up here a little bit. And the last few days, we've seen crude oil, which had a big downturn, start to uptick here a little bit. And, of course, with these pagers blowing up in Lebanon and, you know, a lot of resentment and possibly more conflict in the Mideast, that could turn this little correction in oil back north again. So, it's a time to be, I think, a little bit more defensive, but in the areas that I refer to versus being fully invested. You know, you look at the stock market, and you'll see a name like Apple Computer, which is up like 7 points today, Thursday. So everybody loves a couple names out there, and they love NVIDIA because it doesn't, they seem that the future is infinitely higher for AI, and that may or may not be true, but the stock and the whole group is way up there. But, you know, there isn't the demand for semiconductors, you know, and there is that burgeoning industry out there. So maybe that sector will hold up. But overall, the Fed did what it did. And it wasn't any great surprise to me because I see things deteriorating. And it seems to me the Fed would try to do something. But there are other tools that the Fed has. It's just not the Fed funds rate. I mean, they control the money supply. They manipulate stocks. They've bought stocks in individual companies, bonds in individual companies that they don't talk about at all in the financial press. You get this from the Freedom of Information Act in years past about what they really do. We really don't have Freedom of Information Act on the Plunge Protection Team or the Equity Stabilization Fund. If we did, I think people would be shocked if they try to cover it up in terms of what government activity is. But the money supply, for example, the Fed controls. If they continue the path that they've been on, they haven't really been restricting the money supply. Paul Volcker did that back in 1980, and that certainly, you know, cleaned house. So they kept money still flowing out there. So there's a lot of tools at the Fed. And you know, my first question, if I was interviewed, and I'm not going to be, about the question you just asked me about the Fed raising or lowering rates by half a point, I would say, well, I tell you, folks, I think the Fed should be abolished and should have been for many years, and that they've already proved to be incompetent. Plus, you got a U.S. government on the congressional side spending money like drunken sailors, so the whole system is screwed up. And we need to be talking about some fundamental change to the system, how we spend money, and even continuing the existence of the Federal Reserve at all. Track record we just saw this past 20 years with 0% interest rates and the problem that was caused and the sudden increase in rates here, which put a lot of banks into jeopardy and a lot of real estate into jeopardy, really was out of line in terms of what should have been done. And so they raise the rates. They honor the Fed. They honor Jay Powell like he's some type of god. And I see them as the lowest part of our society causing the biggest problems. So I just laugh when I see these things happening. So you just have to try to trade around it the best way you can. They'll probably continue to lower rates a little bit, which means if you own some, even though I don't think long-term they're good, but some of the bond market should go higher. So, for example, one of the recommendations that I talk about is owning a bond fund like the 20-year bond TLT, which is a ETF for the bond market. That, in theory, should uptick as the Fed continues to bring rates down a little bit. So there are some places to make a buck. So I hope I covered the Fed story a little bit for you.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with gold in reaction to this interest rate drop?
Well, it got over 2,600. I've been a bull. I don't know if you recall, I've been talking for quite some time about a 2,700 target. I think it's going a lot higher than that over time. But as the stock market, we're in a cycle change point. I actually put a little chart in my newsletter this past week, which was generated by another analyst based on the theory that around the full moons or the lunar cycles, you hit tops in gold. And I was open to this because I keep telling the same story, but back in 1972, Ian McAvity from Liberation's newsletter out of Toronto went on the Lewis Rukeyser Wall Street Week show, and he talked about full moon and gold. And, you know, of course, that's a long time ago when I was sort of new in the profession, and I was really impressed by it. Probably everyone else was laughing, but I stuck with this for the last several decades, and I actually chart the lunar cycles against the stock market, as you know, you hear on these broadcasts a lot, and nothing's 100%, but sometimes you intersect lunar cycles right near peaks and troughs in the market. So we're just hit a full moon here with the gold into new highs. So that it might suggest that we're might got carried away here a little bit. It doesn't mean we're going down big or it's a big top. It just means, you know, on a trading basis, maybe we got too far too fast. So all the fundamentals, the BRIC nation actions, the incredible stupidity on the financial front on both the Fed and the U.S. Government suggests that, you know, overall we're going a lot higher over time. But, you know, you could have made the same statement 30 years ago and have to withstand a lot of volatility up and down in gold along the way. And there's also the manipulation of the gold market, which has been documented by GATA.org for a couple of decades in terms of their government suppression of the price using the futures market. So a lot of shenanigans has been going on as well. So, you know, it's like I was buying gold back at $200-$300 an ounce, $500-$600 an ounce, you know, for years, and, you know, watch it go up and down and all over the place. So it depends if you're a trader or you're just putting it as a hedge against your other assets. Historically says you probably should own it just based on history. But now with the governments of the world ganging up against the U.S. with the BRIC new currency, you know, gold could be any number. I mean, I don't sit here trying to forecast how high it could go in a catastrophic situation, but, you know, it could go much, much higher. And the goal is to get rid of the U.S. dollar and diminished U.S. government's U.S. and the world affairs, that anything is possible. So you asked me a question. I'm overdoing it here, but maybe a little trading top, but overall still positive.
Is it possible for the U.S. government to get its spending under control?
I don't think so. You know, I would like to see it happen. We need a major change of administration and government to happen. It's not just Donald Trump coming in, you know, it's just the deep state, the career employees, the secret government, whatever you want to call it, that really runs the government, not the elected officials. And they're, you know, they're obviously there to keep the status quo. I don't know how it would happen. I think you'd have to fire everybody in the U.S. government and all the departments and start from scratch and hope you hire the right people. And the elected officials, you know, they have their own prejudices and, you know, their own constituents they're trying to satisfy with various spending programs and so forth. So, you know, I don't know how it's all going to play out. The debt is incredible. We just have mismanaged the finance as something awful. Wall Street has a lot to do with it. The Wall Street is no friend of this situation. I mean, a lot of greedy people who are managing a lot of people's money want to keep the status quo so they can continue to earn their fees. We really have to clean house. And unfortunately, to clean it will probably be a sort of a catastrophic situation. And, you know, we spend a lot of time speculating what that's all about, you know, so I'm not very optimistic. I hope that if Trump gets in, maybe some steps will be taken. But until you get rid of the people in the back room, so to speak, and really clean house here, I don't know how it's all going to change. Too many vested interests, too many programs out there, unnecessary ones that we're spending on. And look what we're doing with immigrants coming into the country, you know, funding them, giving them health care, giving them money, giving them cell phones. Incredible, where U.S. citizens or even homeless in our own country don't seem to get the same benefits. Where's all this money coming from? They're just printing it. I mean, Ben Bernanke talked about this, and I keep referring to this quote, but it was in 2007 and 2008 when he was interviewed on CBS television. you know, he was asked, are you guys printing money by hitting a button? And he said, well, yeah, essentially we're just printing money. They just hit a button and, on the computers, and they just spell out a lot of cash and form, you know, electronic form. And, you know, how can that go on? I mean, you know, eventually, you know, it's going to blow up on us the way it did in Germany prior to, you know, the World War, you know, where they just drove their currency down to a worthless situation. So I don't have the answers, Jim. You know, I just know it's a bad situation. I don't know how they're going to fix it. You have to hedge yourself the best way you can. You know, try not to be in debt. You know, if you can grow your own food and, you know, have a backup so you don't have to depend on any emergency situation. If you can run off solar power or generators in case something happens that you can't depend on utilities, if you have, you know, some gold, you know, whatever you need to do to try to protect yourself. Obviously, you know, these are part and parcel to the survival situation, which might unfortunately have to unfold in a catastrophic situation that would clean house. Whether we'll ever get that in my lifetime, I don't know, but we certainly need to see it happen. So meanwhile, we're going to see inflation is still out there. We still have geopolitical situations. We still have wars underway. We have a lot of bad players out there. And our own friends are not our friends. So we think they're friends. We think the European economy, the Europeans are our allies, but in a way they're not. And then our own leaders are a mess.
Cryptocurrencies, are they a safe bet if the stock market takes a tumble?
I'm going to bet that they are, because it's a refuge. It's an alternate currency, and XRP is being touted as a possible replacement for many transactions. It could drive its price substantially higher. Bitcoin is used internationally, and you know, you don't have to, you have privacy, you don't deal with you know, banks and, you know, supervision and so forth. So, you know, I think the you know, the play is in. I mean, this is a trend. It's not just a flash in the pan that many hoped for or thought. I know I respect Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger very much, and they think it's trash. If you had interviewed, I think Munger said that. I think Warren would probably say the same thing. So they don't respect it, and you know, I guess they view it, they'll go to zero at some point. But a lot of people have felt that. I just think the geocosmic, geopolitical, geoeconomic situation just says the world wants something alternate. I guess that's why BRICS has come into existence. And from what I understand, BRICS might use one of the cryptos as part and parcel to their activities, the rumor being that it might be XRP, but it could be Bitcoin, it could be Ethereum, you know, it could be some others as well, as part of their process of extricating them from a dollar connection. So, yeah, you got to own it, you got to own some. You know, I mean, obviously, Bitcoin at 61,000 is not cheap, but you know, I remember when it was $200, you know, not too many years ago. It was about 15 years ago. So, you know, it's a hedge. You know, it's a hedge. So you don't put all your eggs in one basket. And owning a little crypto makes sense. And, you know, keep in mind that the BlackRock, the largest money manager on earth, with several trillion under management, run by Larry Fink, you know, proposed the ETF for Bitcoin and was successful. And, of course, it took off right after that. So when a huge player like that is involved, you know, you got to believe that, you know, it's for real. So the timing is the big deal. I mean, it's volatile. I mean, what crypto do? I mean, not crypto, but what did Bitcoin do? It went from 72,000 down to 45,000 on a correction in the last few months. Now it's back up to 60, 61,000. I mean, where is it going? 100,000, million? I have no idea, but it depends on, you know, there's less and less Bitcoin around every several periods of time. I forget what they are now that the amount is halved that's available. So, yeah, like I say, I'm staying bullish. I mean, I'm not saying buy it all here. We've been in it for a while, you know, so we're just sort of holding some, you know, positions. And I guess if it really got nailed, we might want to add to positions at some point. I have to look at the charts and see what kind of nail price would really attract us to do to buy more of it. But I would definitely look at that XRP as a spec, because I heard BRICS might be involved in it. It's only trading around 50 cents or 60 cents. I think the high was only around $2 anyway. But if they somehow incorporate that into their program, assuming this is true, you know, I can't confirm it 100%, but this is what I'm hearing in the grapevine. You know, it might appreciate and it might be worth a shot, but you should own a little Bitcoin anyway, because that's the big, you know, the big gorilla in the room, you know.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Love it. Have a great weekend. Thanks so much.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.